Kia ora, ko fusmataho. Nau mai ki te whare, welcome to the House. At Parliament, some of the most interesting and unexpected debates occur on Members' Days, those alternate Wednesdays when the House debates bills put forward by backbenchers rather than ministers from the government.
I call on members. Order of the day, number one.
Members' bills can be dull, but often they're not. Partly this is because, coming from across the parties, they bring a wider subject range and a broader scope of political philosophy. But also because some members' bills include ideas that most governments might be nervous to champion, or just not get round to. Wednesday this week was a members' day, with some good examples of all of the above, and some unexpected voting.
And all 15 of our MPs, unless anything crazy happens tonight, will be supporting this bill.
Chloe Swarbrick probably surprised National MP Stuart Smith during the second reading debate for his bill easing salad or tasting rules. It isn't quite done yet, but it's finding pretty wide support. It's an example of a bill addressing a niche issue that might struggle to climb up a government agenda. Another small fix-it bill was Labour MP Greg O'Connor's bill on child sex offender overseas travel reporting, which had unanimous support. It adds more specificity to the current law. Greg O'Connor.
However, unlike such travel within New Zealand, the registered offender is currently not obliged to supply police with their intended addresses in the country they'll visit or whether there'll be children at the address.
But the other two bills were even more interesting. Green MP Tiana Tuiono's bill wants to reinstate New Zealand citizenship for some now quite elderly Samoans who had their citizenship removed by a law passed back in 1982.
The bill does not confer citizenship directly, but instead creates automatic eligibility to apply for and receive citizenship. It would not create new rights to citizenship for descendants of those whose citizenship were removed. As I said earlier, the youngest of these elders is now 75, Madam Speaker, and that is why it is important that now is the time for us to address these issues while they are still here.
Unusually, it was debated with a visiting delegation of Samoan MPs in attendance. Also unusually, it was agreed to by every party except the National Party. But that bill will still now go through to Select Committee for public feedback. Feedback which I suspect might be both fascinating and emotional. The most divergent debate, though, was over the very first bill, the bill that former Green Party co-leader James Shaw had delayed his retirement to speak on. It would add the right to a sustainable environment to the New Zealand Bill of Rights. James Shaw.
It appears to me that in the current moment, there is actually less political consensus on even the most basic environmental protections than there has been for most of my lifetime.
It is one of those bills that might make governments nervous. The current government were definitely against it. But it was also a bill with, for a members' bill at least, big implications. And it sparked debate over what it turned out were some quite gaping philosophical divides. ACT MP Mark Cameron.
This bill is actually an attempt to legislate for that same 1970s socks and sandal vision of a green world that has failed. It's failed when it's been tried in New Zealand. In the 1960s, 1970s, greenies like James Shaw believed that civilization would end because we'd run out of water, we'd run out of food, and we'd run out of energy. It turns out we didn't.
MPs disagree in big and small ways all the time about what's more or less important or prudent. But this debate felt a little bit more meta. National's Penny Simmons and New Zealand First's Tanya Unkevich.
We seek not to add burdensome red tape, but to strip it away, clearing the path so that we do get innovation and we do get prosperity.
The party is concerned that the inclusion of a right to a sustainable environment in the Bill of Rights Act may inadvertently restrict economic development, any opportunities, or even create a legal uncertainty that could deter investment and growth.
And it had that extra thing riding on it, being championed by a senior MP on their way out the door. So we'll give him the final word. James Shaw.
That my first female ancestor in New Zealand, Annie Matilda Baggett, was the granddaughter of a Jamaican plantation slave during a time when slavery was seen as a vital component of the global economy and the abolition of slavery was opposed as a threat to financial stability and economic development. People pollute the atmosphere. They destroy rivers and species and ecosystems for the very same reasons that they use slave labour or seize land that once belonged to a people that they considered to be inferior.
In the end, James Shaw did not get to see his final bill survive him. It was voted down. He will now bow out of politics with a valedictory speech planned for the very beginning of May. You've been listening to The House. E te whakaronga koe ki te whare. This programme is produced with funding from Parliament's Office of the Clerk. Matawa.